Our reading this morning is by Scott Baronato. It's from a longer piece from the Harvard Business Review entitled, "That Discomfort You're Feeling is Grief." These are the words of David Kessler, who's an expert on grief, who was interviewed by Baronato. He says, "Yes, we're feeling a number of different griefs. We feel the world has changed, and it has. We know this is temporary, but it doesn't feel that way. And we realize things will be different. Just as going to the airport is forever different from how it was before 9/11, things will change. And this is the point at which they changed. The loss of normalcy, the fear of economic toll, the loss of connection, this is hitting us and we're grieving collectively. We are not used to this kind of collective grief in the air. We're also feeling anticipatory grief. Anticipatory grief is that feeling we get about what the future holds when we're uncertain. With a virus, this kind of grief is so confusing for people. Our primitive mind knows that something bad is happening, but we can't see it. We've rarely collectively lost our sense of general safety like this. Individually, or as smaller groups, people have felt this, but altogether, this is new. Anticipatory grief is the mind going to the future and imagining the worst. To calm yourself," he says, "you want to come into the present. This will be familiar advice to anyone who has meditated or practiced mindfulness, but people are always surprised at how simple it can be. You can name 5 things in the room. There's a computer, a chair, a picture of the dog, an old rug, and a coffee mug. It's that simple. Breathe. In this moment, you're okay. You have food. You're not sick. Use your senses. The desk is hard. The blanket is soft. I can feel the breath coming in and out of my nose. This will really work to dampen some of that grief. You can also think about how to let go of what you can't control. What your neighbor is doing is not in your control. What is in your control is staying 6 feet away from them and washing your hands. Focus on that. Finally, it's a good time to stock up on compassion. Everyone will have different levels of fear and grief, and it manifests in different ways. So be patient and be compassionate." So even despite the rain, I'm feeling especially thankful right now for our warmer weather. I'm looking forward to the summer months after many months of cold. And each summer, our fellowship typically moves into a season of Sunday worship that involves more lay-led services. We usually don't continue the worship themes that have guided our fellowship throughout the worship year. But with the strangeness of the pandemic and the physical distancing and all that comes with that, our program staff and worship staff decided that a summer theme might be helpful to continue to guide us. And so we're beginning today with our new summer theme, Finding a Way. Now, I don't know about you, but I imagine that reading about grief might have felt pretty accurate. It sure felt accurate to me. Grief doesn't only happen when someone we love dies, though that is certainly the most recognizable kind of grief. Grief can come with any loss, and right now we're experiencing loss in such new, weird, and uncertain ways that it's hard to wrap our hearts and our minds around this particular kind of grief. I've begun to realize that there are different phases to this pandemic and this experience that we're having. They might feel, these phases might feel a little different to each of us, but in my life, the first couple weeks were the phase that I like to lovingly call sheer chaos. Everything was up in the air. Nothing was clear. Everyone was scrambling to prepare themselves for a time of physical distancing or even quarantine. Many workplaces in the country either shut down entirely, created all new protocols for how to operate more safely in person, or began operating entirely on the internet. Schools and daycares closed. Everyone tried to figure out what the heck to do with their children during the day. Going to a restaurant for pickup and seeing all the chairs stacked up on the tables was weird. It felt like chaos. And then we began to enter the second phase, which I like to call resigned calm. Now, whether or not it was truly calm, it was sort of the beginning of a kind of orderliness. We started to understand how things were going. It was nearly impossible, but people began to apply for unemployment if they needed that support. Others began to help their neighbors in new ways. Working from home started to feel more normal, even as it remained difficult, especially if you had kids at home. We all got a lot better at Zoom. Toilet paper became available again. And now we're entering phase three. This is what I'm calling a new world. Now, do you remember way back in mid-March, we were all preparing for a two-week quarantine? Do you remember that people were going to the grocery store to get enough food for 2 weeks? That's what we all were imagining. 2 weeks, four at most, and then back to normal. It didn't take long for us to realize that that was not going to be true. But now we're starting to realize that this is a truly long haul challenge. It's not going to be over anytime soon. Even with our state Supreme Court striking down the governor's stay-at-home order, things aren't going back to normal right away, and probably not for a long time. The president of our National Unitarian Universalist Association, the Reverend Susan Frederick Gray, issued guidance last week in the form of a letter in which she encouraged all Unitarian Universalist congregations to prepare for fully virtual operations for the coming program year. That guidance would mean that we would not meet as a fellowship in person until the summer of 2021. Reading that email, though I know it was offered in love and gentleness, felt like a punch to my gut. It felt really hard to consider how to transition everything online and offer our ministries to each other at a physical distance. But we managed to do it as long as we knew it wouldn't last too long. But now we're needing to consider what it might mean to do it for months. And it doesn't just mean doing everything we used to do, but online. Things are going to have to shift in new ways in order for us to fulfill our mission of welcoming everyone, growing in mind and spirit, and leading in social justice. Now, I want to be clear with you. Our fellowship staff and leadership, we're not sure how we're going to interpret the UUA's guidance. That guidance was meant for the entire country, and we recognize that our local area might not need to stay fully physically distant for the entire year. We certainly hope not. But we are planning to have our beloved building remain fully closed through the summer. No in-person gatherings or rentals of any size through August. We will reassess the situation in midsummer to begin making plans for the fall, and we will continue to be in communication with you about what those plans include. It's very likely that worshiping together in person in our sanctuary will not happen for a very long time. There might be creative ways for us to come together, but the reality of those gatherings is still pretty far away. When we begin to consider gathering in person, there are going to be so many questions. Who gets to attend in person? How will we ensure adequate physical distancing? Will masks be needed? How will surface cleaning be managed? These are all the questions that we will be asking ourselves and relying on the best information that we can gather from medical, scientific, and public health professionals to help us make decisions, policies, and procedures. I've been in communication with clergy from other Appleton faith communities, and we're creating a sort of coalition to support each other in these decisions and to provide support to our health department, who are clearly, unfortunately, feeling some sort of pressure maybe to avoid indicating any indication of infringing on religious rights. We want the health department to know that we support them and that we need them. And I'm so grateful to my fellow clergy colleagues in our area for working together on this. We're following the guidance of the Wisconsin Council of Churches, who issued a powerful set of guidelines based on the governor's Badger Bounce Back Plan. And even though that plan is no longer legally enforceable, it's still really good public health guidance, and we will do our best to continue following it or any updates that are issued in the future. Trust me, this is no fun. None of us wants to be in this situation. We want to see each other in person. We want to hug each other. We don't want to have to limit attendance at weddings or memorials. We want to be able to gather to celebrate life in ways that are large and full of singing. And yet, right now, we can't. We just can't. I have a friend and a colleague in New Jersey who had a really sudden and tragic loss of a child about 2 weeks ago. And they had no choice but to celebrate his life in a drive-past memorial service. It was beautiful. Cars lined up for miles, but it was heartbreakingly insufficient. There are so many things about this pandemic that have been insufficient. It's okay to grieve that. I encourage you to grieve those losses, no matter how small they might seem. And then we come back to the present moment. We come back to the green leaves on the trees and the warmth in the air and the things that we can control and the compassion that we can extend to each other in this truly hard time. It's easy to travel into the future, months or years. Try not to do that too much. We don't know what's coming, but we know what's today. We will find our way forward. I feel certain of that. We will. It will not be the same as the way things were before, but we will find new ways. Our Unitarian Universalist Identity High School youth class has been preparing to offer their worship service to you all via Zoom. Our bridging high school youth will still bridge to young adulthood, and it won't be the same, but we will still honor them and their journeys later in June. We will still celebrate our flower communion, and if you haven't yet sent in your photograph to our photos@fvuuf.org email address, please do so by June 1st so that you can participate in our Flower Communion photo mosaic project. in August and September, if we're not able to safely gather for worship in person, we will find a way to celebrate our animal blessing and our mingling of the water services. We will have to be creative, there's no doubt, but we will find a way. The creativity of many of our local businesses, especially restaurants and retail shops, to meet the customer needs while providing physical distance has been inspiring and encouraging. We here at the Fellowship are still a microcosm of the beloved community. We are still here. We're still active in ministry to each other. We're still providing pastoral care and religious education for children and youth, and music opportunities, worship, connections, adult education programs, and opportunities for justice making. We're still planning to have our intern minister, Allie Peters, join us in the fall, even if that means she joins us remotely to learn and to provide ministry from afar. We're still here. We just need to be creative and to make an effort to connect in a way that might be a little trickier than if we were able to see each other and mingle together after services in person. As we look toward the summer, we also look toward a bit of slowing down here at our fellowship. We continue to offer worship and connection opportunities, but it will be at a pace that's a little bit lighter than during our usual program year. We hope that this time will give you a chance to find that rhythm in this new world that we might need for longer than we had originally hoped. Because this fall, when our fellowship returns to the program year in September, we will be needing you to support and make programs happen for each other. We will need you to log in, to sign up, to offer support, and to ask when you need support. We will need you to make the extra effort to connect, or to show up, or to drive through, or whatever new way we're finding to come together. Because we need each other, and we will continue to need each other, especially if we can't gather in person. We'll find a way. We will. And we will need your help. I wonder, how are you finding your way during this bizarre time? How are you finding new ways of doing things? How are you finding your way through the grief? How are you finding moments of joy? May we each find our own way, and in our connections as a faith community, may we find creativity and hope and support and joy. May it be so. Amen.